Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Another week begins, and of course that means the holidays draw near. Soon be at the end of June and the beginning of the holidays. Well, we're turning to the Bible once again, and we're continuing our study of what we have called the five central points of the gospel. Five particular doctrines that lie at the very heart of God's revelation in the Bible. I told you last week when we began the study that these doctrines are often called the five points of Calvinism, and we wouldn't dispute that title, but we did want to point out to you that God's people recognized these five important doctrines long before John Calvin was ever heard of. He certainly highlighted them and set them forth after the glorious Protestant Reformation, and for that reason they are linked with his name. But they are truths that have long, long been known amongst the people of God because they're prominent within the scriptures of truth. I also told you that the five points have been immortalized and made easy for us to remember under the use of the word tulip, the flower, lovely flower. Well, the letters of the word tulip present us with the initial letters of the five doctrines. We began last week with the first one. T, total depravity. Man is totally sinful. No good thing in him. That's what the Bible teaches. No good thing in him. Now, man likes to think of himself as having good in him. But in truth, before God and in God's eyes, there's no good thing. Everything is marred and spoiled by sin. Now we're coming to the second letter, U. And that stands for unconditional election. Now that might need a little bit of explaining. What it is saying is that we were chosen of God not because there was anything good in us that caused him to pick us out. His electing of us, his choosing of us, was without condition. Let me explain what it means to be unconditional. If your mum said to you, if you're good, we're going to have a special party on your next birthday. She's making a promise, but it's a conditional promise. It depends on you being good. If you're not good, no special party. No special party. That's a conditional promise. Well, God chose a people for himself without any conditions. He didn't say, if you're good, I'll choose you. Or, I choose you because you're good. There's good in you. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. God's choice of a people is without any condition. So then, we're looking today at unconditional election. Election is an essential doctrine in the Bible. You can't read the New Testament epistles without coming on the word elect or election. Now, there are many Christians who do not like the doctrine of unconditional election. They don't like that truth. They would challenge it. They would say, and by so doing they alter what the Bible teaches, they would say that God chose a people because he was able to see into the future and see that they, when they heard the gospel, would believe. And because of that, he chose them. He selected them. So that they are saying, the election of a people unto salvation was made by God on the basis that he saw that they would believe the gospel. Now, that can't be if what we looked at last time is true. Last time we said that man was sinful through and through. There is no good thing in him. Now, if that's true, and it is, then God couldn't see any good thing in the sinner that would cause him to say, I'll choose him. I'll make him one of my elect. Because I can see that when he hears the gospel, there will be in him a good thing that will respond in faith to the gospel. No, that cannot be so. It is wrong, therefore, to try and make out that God chose those who are saved because he saw in them a good thing, a good response to the gospel. No, the Bible teaches us that God chose those called the elect not because there was any good in them. He chose them unconditionally. He didn't choose them because he saw there was good in them. He chose them out of love, out of mercy, out of grace. There was nothing that recommended the sinner that God chose for himself in the eyes of God. Nothing. That's why the gospel's so precious, boys and girls. If I thought for a moment that God would only have anything to do with me because he saw in me a good thing, then I would be cast down in utter despair because I know there's no good thing in me. Therefore, God will never have anything to do with me. But that's not what the gospel teaches. That's not what the gospel teaches. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were sinners. And if you're a sinner today, there's hope set forth for you in the gospel. Election. It's an important doctrine in the Bible. Now, the Bible makes it clear that faith, rather than being the cause of God choosing the sinner, faith is the result of God choosing the sinner. If you believe the gospel today, it's because God chose you and gave you the grace to believe the gospel. I'm going to read some words to you. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 1 and the verse 4 to 6, these words, knowing, that is, understanding, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Understanding your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So Paul is saying, look, when I came unto you preaching the gospel, you responded. You believed, despite the difficulties and the many enemies there were. You believed. And you believed because you were elect of God. Your faith comes from your election, not the other way about. Not the other way about. It's important for you to try and recognize this truth, boys and girls, and get it into your heart. Paul is saying that as a result of God choosing you in eternity, when the gospel came to you, you believed. Because God gave you the grace to believe. We want to look at another verse, again in Paul's writings to the Thessalonians, only this time it's 2 Thessalonians. and the chapter 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There again you have it stated. Paul is saying we are bound to give thanks to God for the fact that he chose you again unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You were saved as a result of what God did in you, whereby he enabled you to believe the gospel. You didn't have that ability of yourself. You didn't have your ability of yourself. If what some say is true, that man has the ability to believe the gospel, then Paul would not have said, we are bound to give thanks always to God. But he would have said, we're bound to give thanks always to you, because you believed. It was you that embraced the gospel, because you believed as a result of your own ability. But Paul is thanking God, because salvation is of the Lord, and man has no part in it in himself. Everything that happens within man, when he repents, when he believes, when he follows the Savior, is a result of what God did. Let me give you a simple example. When the Lord Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth, it says Lazarus came forth. Now, did Lazarus play any part in his resurrection? Could a dead man decide that he would stop being dead and would live? Of course he could. It was all of the Lord. The Lord Jesus said the words and also imparted to the corpse in the tomb the power to rise from the dead. And so it is in the gospel. God has chosen from all eternity a people unto himself, in whom there was no good. They were dead in trespasses and sins. And when the gospel came to them, it came to them as the words of the Lord Jesus came to Lazarus, accompanied by power that caused them to believe the gospel, repent, and follow Christ. That's the truth of the gospel, boys and girls. Unconditional election. Unconditional election. Being unworthy to be chosen of God gives us cause to rejoice now and throughout eternity. When we explain that election came about as a result of God seeing that we would believe, would give the Christian cause to rejoice in himself, I've touched on that. It would give those who are in heaven the right to say, I'm here because I decided to believe the gospel. But that's not the song of heaven. That's not what they sing in heaven. Rather, it is basically unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sin. Unto him be glory forevermore. Everyone in heaven knows I'm here not because there was any good in me, but because God in loving mercy chose me out of the darkness of sin, out of the ranks of the lost, and drew me to himself and enabled me to believe the gospel message, and I'm saved thereby. Do you understand what I'm saying, boys and girls? No honor is due to any sinner. Paul said to the Galatians, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The word curse means that we were completely and utterly condemned when Christ redeemed us. Now that could not be said of a person, that they were cursed, utterly condemned, if in them there was one good thing, the ability to believe. We don't have the ability to believe because we're under the judgment of God. We're utterly cast away and cut off from God in our natural state. But God in mercy reaches out, as the Lord Jesus did to Lazarus in the tomb, and calls us forth from the deadness of sin, imparts to us new life, so that it can be said we're born again, born from above. Faith is a gift from God. It's not something we own or have by nature. It's a gift from God, given us at that moment when by His Holy Spirit He works upon us and brings us forth from darkness, from unbelief, and causes our eyes to be opened to see the Lord Jesus as the only Savior of the world and to trust in Him. It's of God, boys and girls. Are you saved today? It's God who has done it. And He chose you not because there was any good in you, but He chose you out of His free, sovereign mercy and grace. Oh, what a wonderful doctrine this is. Ephesians 2:8, a very famous verse. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Grace, what does it mean? Free, unmerited favor. Favor that we did not deserve. And God saved us out of that good grace. He favored us by giving us faith and causing us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a very important theological work called the Westminster Confession of Faith. Now, in our Sunday school, we teach one of the documents came out of that great assembly that met in Westminster way back in the 1600s and drew up a number of theological masterpieces. We teach the Shorter Catechism to the older pupils in our Sabbath school, and you probably know that. I hope you're not groaning when I remind you that you're learning the Shorter Catechism. That'd be not the easiest thing to learn for a young person, but oh, listen, there are glorious truths set forth there, and you learn it. But one of the fellow documents that came out of the Westminster Assembly back in the 1600s, as I say, was the Westminster Confession of Faith. And it's the Confession of Faith which the Free Presbyterian Church adheres to. The Westminster Confession of Faith says this about election. And it's a good statement, it's a glorious statement. The grace of faith whereby the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their soul is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts and is ordinarily wrought by the ministry of the Word. Holy Spirit gives the grace to believe, and the Holy Spirit does that ordinarily as the Word of God is preached. Maybe this morning, as I have been teaching you these things, your heart has been persuaded to say, "Yes, I believe that." And if that is what your heart has said, listen to me. That is the workings of the Holy Spirit within your soul. He has given you the grace to embrace the truth of God. Oh, boys and girls, I hope and trust and pray that some of the seeds that I have attempted to sow this morning take root in your heart and mind. Let's bow together, please, in prayer now. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, like a mother taking her little infant and squeezing and mashing up the food that is for the adult and gently feeding it to her little child. So Lord, by grace, help us and enable us to feed to the boys and girls here something of those great truths in the Bible, which are the very food of our soul. Bless our school today. May your hand be upon it, upon the teachers, the pupils, and the parents at home. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.